Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
And I'm Casey Lawrence.
It is Tuesday, October 30th. Casey, that's the new theme song.
Wow. I mean, it sounds great.
Yeah, it does sound cool, right? It has a, I've put in a fade. We can't hear it right now, but it's going to gradually fade under us.
Ooh, I like it.
A la professional podcast.
Ooh.
What they call a music bed.
And we're laying in it.
That's right. We are laying in that bed.
We got a lot to talk about this week. Some real hot off the presses action going on right here.
Oh yeah.
New NBA record set tonight, for number of three pointers made in a game.
14 three pointers made by Klay Thompson.
How many minutes did he play? It was 27 minutes.
So it was similar to, so, I mean, we've had the, first of all, offensive explosion this year.
Yikes. Are you, I mean, no team is averaging less than 100 points a game.
That's amazing. So many scores that are like 141 to 127.
It's the Wild West out here.
Is it just because of the rule changes? Is it just because everyone has finally caught on about three-pointers?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B, but every team is taking great shots. Every team is right. Making a ton of shots. So, yeah, I guess it kind of does feel like the defensive rule changes are really getting in there.
I guess it's amazing to me that the shot clock, the reset shot clock.
The reset shot clock, the thing that tripped me up at Summer League is now the official law of the NBA. In case you didn't know, the new rule this year is that on an offensive rebound, the shot clock no longer resets to 24 seconds. It only resets to 14 seconds.
Right.
I wonder how they decided on 14.
Well, because 14 is what it resets to when you like kick the ball.
Yeah. And what made them decide that?
Who knows? I guess.
Because it's not half.
No.
It is 10 seconds after you had to bring up the ball.
Right.
But now it's only eight.
So it could be 16 is what it could be.
Yeah, but then why? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you.
By the way, often they just get over the half line in 8 seconds many, many times.
Yeah, and they change the way that the numbers are displayed so that it has to not say the 16 anymore for it to be
a shot clock has to get to 15 for 15. It to be a violation.
Yes, correct.
So it seems weird, but it seems like it took 4 years for teams to be like, hey, maybe we should take three-pointers as well.
Yeah.
Although I haven't looked at any evidential data for this. I haven't looked to see if teams are taking more three-pointers or making more.
Pace is up.
Uh-huh.
Three-pointers are up. Efficiency is up. Everything is up except for defense, which is down.
Right. Well, I mean, you never know when, like, psychologically the whole league is just like, you know, what if we didn't play defense this year? What if we were, like, following the iconic player of the league?
Yeah.
In playing one side of the court,
one more side than the of the other. Court, baby. The LeBron Jamesification of the league, is it in full effect?
Yeah. I mean, you could argue, you know, Steph Curry is an underrated defender, lots of people say, but he is pretty much an offensive focused player as well.
Klay Thompson, he's a defensive guy who can shoot threes, but then also is just, I feel like when you talk about Klay, you're like, Klay's a defensive guy on that team, right?
Yeah.
He's like their lockdown defender who's not Andre Iguodala.
And right? who until tonight was not shooting three-pointers particularly well.
He was
3 for 16, I believe, going into
having tonight. A, he was,
or something. Know, it was really low.
It was his Steve Austin tribute.
Yes, that's right. And God.
God too. But God second. God always comes second to Stone Cold Steve Austin.
We started this year with like these killer games from Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
And then about a week ago, Blake Griffin.
Oh my God!
Scored 50 points.
50 points in that OT win.
Yeah, I will say that Blake Griffin is at a point. I would say he's probably a little past his prime as a player.
Yeah.
That now he doesn't make a lot of plays look easy.
Yeah.
His post ups in particular look very. They are very effective.
But I'm gonna throw this out there. When did his game look easy? Like even as a somebody
just during the Lob City years.
But like the part of that game that's easy is the alley-oops, right? The open dunks.
Right.
But everything about his game has always felt a little labored, like from the way that he handles the ball, from the way that he posts up, which seems like it takes a lot of energy. Even like his set shot See, it just like
I agree with that.
It never feels. I don't think he's ever felt like an effortless player on anything other than.
I agree with that, except that his handle is really good.
It's good,
but not. It doesn't. But I agree with you that it looks.
It feels.
But his post-up game in particular, which was very effective in the 50-point game,
yeah,
looks very like it doesn't look fun to play or defend.
Yeah, because he just like on it's that
not a finesse type
game. No, on that on the play where right after Drummond got ejected for the fake tech that Joel Embiid hassled him into, he decided that he was going to take Joel Embiid down in the post, and he did, and he just fucking. Stuck his butt into him until he was under the hoop.
Yeah.
And he scored a layup. It was like.
Yeah. Much like one time I was at a gym by myself shooting baskets.
Uh-huh.
And this is just when I moved to LA. So, I mean, I'm already middle aged at this point.
Yeah.
However, I would say septuagenarian.
Ooh.
Wanted to play one-on-one with me.
All right. One-on-one challenge at the gym?
He was like, hey, you want to play like games to 11 or whatever?
Okay.
I was like, sure. And he was. At least a foot taller than me.
Yeah.
And would just back down until he was right under the rim and just throw sort of like an over the head hook. And I was just kind of like, well,
this is fine.
Played three games. I lost all of them. I was like, well, nothing to do here.
So hang on. How did you time travel into being my younger brother in our front yard?
Oh,
like that's what I want to know is because that's exactly how I used to play against my brother.
Yes. Just back him up.
And you know, I mean, I haven't played basketball with my brother in a long time because he's somebody who really enjoys like fighting games, like Street Fighter and Tekken and all the fun fighting games.
Dive Kick.
He is not a big Dive Kick fan, but he is just better than me at all of those games. And this weekend, I beat him at Street Fighter for the first time in maybe 10 years.
Wow.
So all I'm saying is that if I can go back to bullying my brother at fighting games, then you can get bullied again. I promise you, if you go to a court, you will get bullied under a hoop. And
do you have a strategy for Street Fighter, or you just button mash?
I have a strategy.
Okay.
I am better than a button masher and not as good as somebody who is good.
Yeah,
right, because I know how to do special moves. I know how to make combos. And, like, other than that, I'm very bad.
You know how to, like, stop combos?
I know how to cancel combos.
Okay.
My brother,
I don't know this.
My brother knows, like, frame...
frame rate.
Frame rate. And, like, how many frames each attack has and everything. And, like, if you're safe after you do an attack, et cetera. There's, like, a lot of extra stuff that he knows.
There's a very, like, somewhat famous YouTube video of somebody doing a crazy... They're almost dead, and then they cancel.
Moment 33 from Evo.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand what that video is about.
Yeah. So in that video, guy's down to low health, and he has the ability to in Street Fighter 3, you have the ability to parry by pressing forward at the time of attack instead of block. When you block, you take chip damage on special moves. So it's like every
Would have died if he
would have
died. Blocked.
Right. But so somebody who he was playing in the finals. Decided that with him on his last little bit of health, he's just going to do a super special move from far away. So he was playing Chun-Li and he did her special move. And Chun-Li's special move has a, like an animation where you have to, I think, parry correctly, like 15 or 16 times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it, reversed it, countered, and won the match in a way that made every single person watching in the ballroom at whatever hotel they were in Vegas at the time just go absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
Like insane. It was the most impressive thing ever done like on a fighting game stage at that time.
Well, similarly, I remember watching like from the TI3 Dota 2 championships, there was a big turnaround. I can't remember what it's called, but basically it's like somebody jumps in with a Sand King ultimate and like the other team basically they all
die.
They all immediately triggered. Like normally that would kill everybody.
Yeah.
But everybody like enough people immediately triggered like magic resistance to spin out of it. And like a juggernaut spun out. Yeah. And I remember at the time, even watching slow motion, I couldn't understand what was happening. And then now if I saw it, I'd be like, oh, that's interesting. Similarly, yesterday I had my husband and Eric watch the top 10 NBA plays of the week.
Yeah.
And, it was interesting. So I would say what he is most impressed by, and out of the 10, the most impressive play.
Hang on. What level of NBA, like basketball knowledge does Eric have?
Is he knows he like who a, Steph Curry is now because I've made him watch Steph Curry highlights.
But like, he doesn't, you know, doesn't quite understand the rules of the game per se.
Not real. I mean, he played basketball, but he doesn't care.
Oh, so he knows what's going on. He just doesn't care.
Yes.
Got exactly. it. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's the level. Of, yeah. Okay. Got it.
But the most impressive play out of the 10 was a Trae Young, like, crossover and spin. You know what I'm talking about? He crossover and spun and got a layup.
Yeah.
Because it's visibly impressive.
Yes, very much.
And then I think the number two one was Jason Tatum dunking over Paul George.
Which was...
And we were actually... And I follow basketball. I have a basketball podcast. And Eric, we both agree. We were just like, that was all right.
Yeah.
It was more, I guess, because he dunked in Paul George's face.
Yeah. So. And that's, you know, that's always... It's always fun to get dunked on if you're... It's fun to take the dunk to somebody. And that's like... That takes a play up a notch, even if the dunk's like not that impressive.
And maybe I didn't watch that game. Maybe it was at an important point in that game.
No, it was early in the game. It was very early. And it was like, it was a cool dunk, and Paul George got postered, but it didn't feel like, whoa, because they didn't like, there was no foul. It just play kept going on. It would like kind of went in the flow of the game.
I would have put Steph Curry's, like, the layup that didn't count, where he threw it a million miles in the air.
That one was wild.
That one.
Or his, like, one where he broke Kelly Oubre's soul. The three-pointer.
Maybe I did see that one. Kelly Oubre, I don't know if he has a soul.
Oh, he's definitely got a soul, and it is broken, and he has to fix it before.
I would say everyone on the Wizards is broken in some way.
Well, I mean, I guess we can kind of transition into this.
Well, yeah, wait, let's talk a little more about Clay.
Okay,
yeah. Clay had a great night. And as I was saying, he was not shooting well coming into the night.
No, he was like, people were putting up takes like, what's wrong with Clay?
Right. And
is it the beard?
Which doesn't look good.
I think it does.
Oh no. He looks like, again, when they start looking like broken 2K models. So after Blake scored his 50, then Steph scored 51 and also did it in three quarters only. So tonight, as I'm just sort of watching box scores before I went and did a little bit of comedy, I showed Eric the box score of the Warriors game at halftime. I was like, look at the score, 92-50.
If you can't tell at home what face I'm making the same face that Jack Nicholson makes in that GIF from The Departed where he's like got his wide eyes crazy.
And Clay had already made 10 by halftime.
10 threes in one half.
So I didn't see the second. He made four more in the third quarter and then just benched, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, he played 27. They played none of the starters more than 27 minutes.
What's actually also, as the kids say, low-key amazing is that the Bulls ended up with like 127 points or something.
Yeah. The tweet that I read at halftime that made me chortle was that, good first half, Bulls. You scored 50 points. Great job. Also, you're down by 42.
I know. Yeah. There are nights that I wish the Warriors would just keep the gas pedal on and just like, can you get to 175 points?
Yeah. That would have been amazing. There's like no fucking reason for them to do that other than we're the best and we want to show that we're the best.
Yeah. And there's no reason to do it against a team that you don't have any, you know, and also there's, I know that Steve Kerr from the old school basketball doesn't have like a code the way baseball does, but like, I think there's a little bit of a code of not running up the score on that kind of thing.
And against a team that made the best meme video of the week, the Chicago Bulls.
Oh,
did you see the video? Everybody's got to go check out this video. It's a What's in the Box video.
But from Seven?
There's like a thing that goes around that Ellen does. A bunch of late night shows do it. Where they have people stand in a place and put their hands in a box and try to figure out what it is.
Is this like a Halloween thing?
It is not a Halloween thing. They just do it a lot. To like, you know, because people are scared because they can't
see. I've seen this on like a Vanity Fair YouTube channel.
Yes, yeah, Vanity Fair.
It's like a puppy or it's a snake.
Correct. So they had Jabari Parker try to guess what's in the box. And the thing that was in the box was Robin Lopez's head. And it was very funny because Jabari Parker was like, oh my God, it's alive. What is this? And he reaches and touches his hair. He's like, I feel teeth. It's like, this is his ear. You know? It was
I will go look at this.
So, so funny.
I thought for a second you were saying it was like the Chris Gethard, what's in this dumpster?
Oh God. What a great, which great was
very
episode.
Enjoyable.
Yeah. What's in the dumpster?
Yeah. We had a little list of things to talk about.
Yeah.
Because also, was it today or yesterday that, you know, I was recently in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I think in our podcast, I talked about how promising people thought the Cleveland Browns were.
Oh, yeah.
At the time. But the Cleveland sports team's not having a good 48 hours. Ty Lue fired.
Fired.
Hugh Jackson fired.
Fired. Todd Haley fired.
Was he like a coordinator?
He was a coordinator.
Yeah. I haven't been paying attention to NFL, but I guess they lost some more games.
Whatever, dude.
But Ty Lue, they're still winless, I believe.
They are still winless. Kevin Love is out for a month.
Yeah.
The person who the Cleveland Cavaliers selected to be interim head coach,
Larry Drew,
has denied them to their face and said, I am not the interim head coach until they pay me money.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, go for it.
But also said he would speak with the voice of the head coach.
He has the voice of the head coach, but he's not going
to
take
which means title. He was willing to speak as like an old white man.
Yes. Yeah.
As a, like a, Red Holzman.
Yeah. Yeah. Just think, you know, Red Auerbach.
You know, Gene Hackman from Hoosiers.
Yes. Yeah.
These are the times that you just wish that you were a billionaire, that you could own a sports team. And because I'm confident that you, me, and everyone listening to this podcast could make better decisions about the Cleveland Cavaliers than Dan Gilbert could.
Yeah.
Because it's so muddled. What are you trying to do this year?
What are you trying to do? And why, like, why fire Ty Lue now?
The only thing I can think is it possible that he asked to be fired?
I mean,
I'm sure he doesn't care.
Yes, it's possible, but he gets probably his not.
I assume he gets his money.
Yeah. He gets his money. The money goes into his bank over the next year and a half.
Ty Lue had a good run as a coach.
He did.
He never really showed any signs that he was an actual good coach.
No.
And he got a championship.
He got the championship. He was, people say he was LeBron's choice for coach in Cleveland. And that kind of, you know, it begs the question, is he LeBron's choice for coach in Los Angeles?
Oh, I hope not.
I hope not too, because I don't know. But like, I mean, he's got the same connection to LA that Luke Walton does.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. Oh, Luke Walton was not stepped over by Allen Iverson, but yes, I see your point.
No, he was not. But he was on the bench for some finals games in 2005.
Ty Lue, did he make a like coast-to-coast layup in the NCAA tournament?
You are not going to get that information from me, good sir. I have no idea.
Somebody did. Clue. Someone did at some point. Anyway, I mean, I just don't understand what the Cavaliers are doing.
Yeah.
The Eastern Conference is always wide open these days. So you can always say, like, we're going with Kevin Love. We're going to, like, try to run it back and get an eighth seed.
Yeah.
But, like, first of all, I think that was a dumb idea. I think if LeBron leaves, just, like, everyone's fine if you tank it up.
Yeah. Because here's the thing I do understand. I do understand signing Kevin Love to an extension.
Uh-huh. I understand right?
That makes sense. I understand signing Larry Nance to an extension.
Uh-huh.
That also makes sense.
Cleveland history.
Yeah. I think mostly the thing that doesn't make sense is the like the public positioning of like we're going to try our best to make this happen. Yeah, I don't get it.
Was J.R. Smith just on a contract and has more years anyway?
He has 2 years left. So this year
and then
next
what
year.
Was the thing I read? I couldn't understand what the story was that also they told Korver and J.R. Smith that they were not be starting anymore.
Correct. And then Ty Lue was like, actually, you guys are going to play again because we're bad and we need to win.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was something that caused a rift.
Yeah, and then he was fired. Who knows? Also, kind of who cares? It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I would be depressed if I was a Cleveland sports fan, but I'm not.
Yeah. And
Indians were in the playoffs at least.
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't it frustrating though? Don't you wish you could own a team?
Yes, I certainly do. Like, you know, I mean, every single one of us had a dream about the Mega Millions when it was up at $1.6 billion. Like that's at least enough to like, cash in for a third of an NBA franchise that you could own with a friend
who
won the last Mega Millions if your friend, I guess, how many friends would you have to?
Well, I wonder how much it would cost to buy New Orleans, for example, or Detroit.
Yeah. I mean, I think the least you're going to be able to buy a team for is like
500 million.
Probably 800 million is my guess, right? Like, that's the very low end of what you're going to be able to pay, because it's a speculative thing. Like, it's going to go up in value just because the NBA is going up, 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 up. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why we got this podcast, is because the NBA is going up, 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 up.
We're cashing in.
Cashing in. So yeah, sad about just the fact that everything has gone to shit in Cleveland, because, like, you know, like, what a bummer. Like,
I mean,
they could have been bad. Like, I thought they were going to be bad, but I didn't think they were going to be this bad.
Well, they're not bad in a useful way.
Yeah.
So you lose LeBron, and no one is expecting you to. You can skip the playoffs for 3 years if you want.
Yeah.
And honestly, they're used to it in a way. That's a city that can handle tanking better than Los Angeles could.
Yes, definitely.
So you've got Colin Sexton. Give him some playing time.
They are. Ooh, and the early returns are not good.
Well, you know. Go get some more draft picks. Let the people that are on the team, let their contracts expire. Let Kevin Love be your sort of like nice guy leading the franchise.
Trade Kevin Love back to Minnesota.
Sure.
And then get Jimmy Butler and trade him to Houston for those four first round picks.
Yeah. Oh, let's talk about that. Because I don't even know if this is a real thing anymore. And it isn't. First of all, it's incredible the speed that NBA news goes these days.
Ooh.
Because it feels like so long since our last episode.
Yeah.
But there was the rumor that Houston offered four draft picks to Minnesota,
which is the maximum permitted by the collective bargaining agreement.
Because they're probably offering a 19, 21, 23, and 25 or something like that?
Yes.
Okay. Because you can't offer 2 years in a row.
You can't offer 2 years in a row, and you can't offer more than 7 years in advance.
Okay. I would have absolutely taken that if I was Minnesota.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't.
The word on the street was that Eric Gordon has to be included in any trade.
Because Houston wants to get rid of him, or Minnesota wants
him? Because Minnesota wants him from Houston. Right. Okay, yeah, great. Good job, Minnesota. the other thing that I heard is that this deal wasn't going to go down until the 31st, because that's when they...
Because that's when the souls all get candy.
Every single soul.
Oh, someone in it can't be traded till the 31st.
Yeah, the two people who would be coming back from Houston in the bare bones version of that trade,
is it Chris
and Knight, can't be included until the 31st.
Okay, and then I also heard it was like jockeying to raise the price for Miami.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad... I don't think it's a good trade for Houston, but go for it.
I mean, they're so all in.
They seem very... That seems thirsty.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
they make thirsty trades, right? They made a thirsty trade for Chris Paul. They made a thirsty trade for James Harden. And those both worked out, right?
And they made a thirsty move for Carmelo.
Yeah.
They were thirsty for Dwight Howard.
Yeah, I mean... I think it's just like... is thirsty just a way to describe somebody who wants something really badly?
Yes, I actually hate the term. But in this case, I think it applies.
Yeah, they just want a championship real bad, so they're doing whatever they can
in
their power to like swing for it. And
I almost think,
boy, those hacks are coming up empty.
I almost think getting that close, getting to Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals, might make someone a little bit impaired in their judgment.
Yeah,
they're on tilt. Yeah.
A poker turn.
They are on tilt. Because I think that the Melo move was a tilt move, which I think is pretty clear is not, well, there's no evidence that it's going to work at this point.
Yeah, that's a good way to talk about it.
Yes.
Because, you know, I think one of the things that's important is that it's early in the season. You know what? We're like 6 to 8 games in for most teams.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that we kind of want to talk about is like, should we be worried?
Yeah.
It's like, it's Halloween's coming up and like there's scary stuff coming around. And I think that we've had some spooky, scary starts to the season for some teams so far.
We're also much farther into the season than we have been in years past.
Yeah.
Like 10 years ago, the season would still be
starting.
About to start, yeah. I think.
And they did that because of they wanted to get rid of as many back-to-backs as possible.
Mm.
So I think that's good for the league.
So who's a team that you're worried about?
Okay, so let's start by this. Let's say let's look at the teams that are not doing as well as we thought they would.
Okay.
So like name a team. You pulled it up, right?
Let's start with Houston.
Houston.
They are 1-4.
Very scary. That's a scary, scary
situation. And that one is the game that they won over the Lakers.
And it was close.
Yeah. And the Lakers are very much a team in a work in progress.
Work in progress. Okay, so 1-4.
They could very easily be 0-5.
Here's the thing. Are you scared?
Well, as currently composed, I do not like the Rockets, so yeah. I am enjoying this.
Yeah, yeah, but like for the future of the Rockets, like, is it a little scary or should we start to get worried? Is it? I mean, like,
yeah.
Am I walking through a haunted house and like out's going to come like Mike D'Antoni getting fired halfway through the season?
Put it this way. You're walking through a haunted house.
Yeah.
Where all the windows are closing.
That is really poetic. That is incredibly poetic.
Because I think they are sensing that the James Harden by himself is not going to win a championship.
No.
James Harden plus a healthy Chris Paul might win a championship, but that is a dwindling prospect.
Yeah, I mean, because they're both injured right now.
Yeah, and we don't have signs so far that the Warriors are slowing down.
Nope.
And if anything, the Warriors are kind of just reveling. Like, they don't seem to be having... I anticipated, like, chemistry issues this year with the Warriors, and I have not seen that in any of the games I've watched.
No. The article I read today, I think it was a Kevin Pelton article, was talking about how, you know, Steph's going wild, right? He's going crazy. He's scoring 35 points a game. It's an MVP style season for him. And it's like, oh God, I guess that means that Kevin Durant's kind of taking a back seat. And it's like, nope. Kevin Durant has his highest usage rating of his Warriors tenure. He's scoring 30 points a game. They're
Boogie's already getting ejected.
Yeah, that was amazing. But you know, I also love how in this segment about the Rockets we were talking
well,
about.
Well, yeah, okay. So let me just say that like the any sense of the Rockets catching up so far is not happening.
Yeah,
and I would be worried that if they're in the mindset of just offering up 4 draft picks to get Jimmy Butler, because that's definitely we've got to win this season.
Yeah.
And that's, by the way, not a chemistry home run, adding Butler to that mix.
No, and they're all so not big, right? Like, that's like 3 small dudes. And
yeah.
I feel like you're
good. Carmelo?
I mean, and yeah, Clint Capella's good. Where I'm not going to sit here and say Clint
not having a great year so far.
But he's a good player. I feel like if you're going to try to, like, have, like, 3 people, like one of them's got to be at least 6'8", 6'9".
Yeah.
Is
that because you feel you need to put someone on KD in a playoff series or?
I mean, it's less that
ability,
more that you need the ability to like have, cause like you can't have everybody out on the wing and the point who's talented. Like if you're going to run your offense through people, there needs to be somebody who can, you know, be a bigger guy to both play defense and to kind of take the offensive burden down low so that those wing players can be a little more open.
Uh-huh. So thinking about other teams, this is your Draymond. This is your Al Horford.
I mean, this is your
Millsap.
Like really, Jokic. Really even just like all 3 of those dudes are shooting guards or smaller, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'm even saying that like a Gordon Hayward is like a big enough dude, like Simmons, you know.
The reason I bring up Draymond is because he's not like a high usage guy, but he creates angles that are not just outside looking in.
Yeah.
He is able to give you an interior pass that then creates more just vectors that people can run around. Yeah. So that not everybody's just like slashing to the rim.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe the Rockets don't care about that because they found out that basketball can be broken in a way that makes it so that all you have to do is just get fouled 20 feet from the rim or, you know, drive and kick to drive and kick to, I don't know. I'm worried about Jimmy Butler's fit.
Yes. I would also be worried that it seems like Houston has less shooting than last year.
Yeah.
So
less driving and kick, less defense.
Driving kick is not a great option there with less shooting. Driving kick's not a great option with Melo.
No, driving kick's the only option with Melo, right?
If he's the
person who gets kicked to.
But I know, but that's like if you want to kick to like a mid-range 2-point.
I mean, he'll shoot the three. He'll get range with them. And he's like, it's not like Carmelo can't shoot like 35% from three.
Right? I just think he's psychologically, I've never seen him in his career play a sustained number of games where he just catches on the outside and shoots it.
Yeah.
He doesn't like go into a triple threat. And then it's like all about the next 9 seconds of bullshit.
And it's funny because like, he has somebody on his team who's just so much better at all of that bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I
would be worried.
I am worried about the Rockets right now.
Let me give you an Eastern Conference team.
Okay.
The Washington Wizards.
The Washington Wizards.
1-5.
Are you worried about the Washington
Wizards? Well, I'm asking you,
Casey. Oh, okay, great. Sorry, yes. Am I? I'm incredibly worried.
Yeah, you should be.
Holy crap, they look awful.
Yeah.
Like, truly, horrifically awful.
Yeah.
My buddy Sean, shout outs to Sean, who just got engaged, has to watch these Wizards live because he lives in D.C.
Oh. And he has to watch them live.
He has to watch them live because they don't have cable.
I'd like to put out a shout out for Washington, D.C. statehood.
Yeah.
Let's get them let's make them a state. Give them two senators.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I don't think it's anybody's surprise that we're hoping for our blue wave. I mean, Chris has been playing with blue playing cards all podcast. He has not touched the red playing cards once.
No,
he's not. Which is
because the red cards are racist.
Yeah,
and xenophobic.
Yeah.
Yes. First of all, they've added two cancers to their team.
I'm going to say this. I don't think Austin Rivers is a cancer.
No.
I think Dwight Howard is a cancer for sure. I think Austin Rivers is just like not that great at basketball. Yeah. I feel like he, from all that I'm reading out of that locker room, seems like the most stable person in there.
Well, I think he seems to be someone that lots of players dislike, but I will say that Austin Rivers is entertaining from a basketball fan point of view because he sort of unearths lots of concerns that seem like they should be kept in the locker room, and other players feel very free criticizing him. So I enjoy that part of
that
it.
That is fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're getting beat. Beat like the Clippers have beaten them, and it was not close. Like, here's why I think I'm worried about both of these teams that we talked about. They both lost big to the Clippers. Like the Rockets lost big to the Clippers twice.
Yeah,
and the Wizards lost.
I know to the Rockets lost the second time to the Clippers, and I was like, am I reading a box score from 4 days ago?
Yeah, no, it was wild. It was like 133-100 or some shit like
yes.
that.
Oh, I forgot to say this. I don't know if we talked about it. I didn't realize that the Rockets lost their defensive guy.
Yeah. Yeah,
like they lost the coach. Right before the season started, they lost Bezdelic, who's like the guy who was the architect of their defense last year.
Yeah.
And they lost Trevor Ariza.
Yeah.
So I would mostly be worried about their defense.
Yeah, definitely.
So the Wizards have, like, they seem to have talented players.
Yeah.
I think.
Here's the thing. I don't think that they're going to pull it around this year. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs because everything looks so bad out there. It feels like none of them want to play with each other.
Well, that team, that organization, and those players have not shown any resilience as entities.
Yeah.
Like, has there ever been a year where, like, John Wall, like, suddenly turned it around and became, like, a great guy to be on a team with?
No. No.
By the way, where's Gortat this year? Is he at Phoenix?
The Clippers.
Oh, he's on the Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he must have enjoyed that game.
Yes, he did.
I would just be disappointed if I was a Wizards fan because it's not like you're rooting for the Hawks where you're like, or even, there's teams this year that if they're not your team, when you look at the starting roster, you're like, who? That's happened a lot of, like, in games that I've, but the Wizards still have like name marquee players.
Yeah.
Beal, you know,
Porter, Miami,
Dwight Howard.
No, Dwight Howard hasn't played yet.
Well, I'm just saying, you're thinking to yourself, like, we've built up a decent roster, especially for the East.
Yeah. Markieff Morris.
There you go.
Jason Smith.
Okay. I got another team for you.
Okay. All right.
If it were me, I would be worried about the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I'm not worried about the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Because?
The reason I'm not worried is because I feel like there's no way that they're going to shoot as poorly from the field over the course of a whole season as they currently are.
Okay.
They're shooting very poorly. And
they still don't have Roberson.
Still don't have Roberson. I think that their team identity is going to be, you know, once Russell gets back in the swing of things, I think they're going to be a team where they rely on him to score a lot. They rely on Paul George.
Where they assume the identity that they had. So they're not, unlike even the Rockets or the Wizards, the Thunder aren't having to like redefine themselves.
No,
they're just not doing what they
didn't lose anybody from last season. They're just having a slow start to the season.
They lost somebody from last season.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. They lost a person who is a net negative and should make their team better.
Yeah. You know, the Ewing thing that Bill Simmons has is like
the Ewing theory,
which is when that a person leaves, the team gets better.
Yes.
Is it possible that there's a Mellow theory where when a player moves, both teams get worse?
Ooh.
The Rockets and the Thunder are underplaying from last
This year. Is truly a scientific endeavor.
Yeah, the Mellow theory.
The Mellow theory. Theorem postulated by Chris Grace.
Yes.
We'll have to do some experiments and find out.
We'll have to see. So I actually, that makes sense to me, what you just said to me about the Thunder. The only thing that I would be worried about with them is that it takes them 20 games to get back in gear. And at that point, they won't do any better than like a 6 seed.
Yeah.
And so I would be worried about that because I think a lot of people had them. I think my memory is that I wasn't too hot on them in our plus minus, but in our games prediction episode. But a lot of people had them at 3.
Yeah.
I feel like you had them up there.
I think I did because I don't think the difference between 3 and 6 is going to be great. Like, it wasn't that great last season.
You mean quality wise or games wise?
Quality wise.
Yeah.
Right. So I feel like in this scenario, if they make the playoffs, that's good enough for like anybody who isn't deeply invested in that team. Mm-hmm. Right. If they're a playoff team, I think I would put their season at a success. They're obviously hoping for more.
Mm-hmm. But it's not terribly realistic.
No.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what realism is there when we have the Warriors playing the way that they are?
Yeah. And the Nuggets.
The Nuggets. They're looking good.
Yeah, they look great in that one game. I enjoy that game immensely.
That was fun.
Yeah, I agree with you. If the Thunder gets in, and also, you know, with a player like Westbrook, it's always like, well, you know, he might just go for 79 points in a game or whatever and win you a series or something. Yeah, I don't know. The something like home court advantage in a playoff series is one of those things that, like, we sort of just talk about.
Yeah.
And I think does show up statistically, but isn't a thing that, because I've never played sports in a continuous way like that, I don't really know what that means.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much it obviously has an effect.
I mean, in Vegas, the rule is 3 points. Home court is worth 3 points.
Uh-huh.
Right. So,
yeah,
you know,
it's kind of amazing. I think that's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
That I've been thinking recently that, the NBA has so many physically gifted people in it that, now it does almost seem like it's a competition of who can manage the like mental resources and like all of the soft skills of like egos and all that stuff. And it's amazing to me that all of these truly intangible factors can actually produce 3 points on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
Like the factors are like you're in your home instead of a hotel.
Yeah.
You are you know, people are yelling at you or not yelling at you. People are yelling at times when they want you to do good.
Yeah.
To do well.
Yeah. People are yelling at you in times when they want you to do poorly.
People are yelling at these three guys who are calling fouls on you at the same time.
So many yells.
It's interesting to me that, like, I think that's a great human factor. Like, yeah. And it shows up in the stats.
Yeah. There's only one last team that we need to check in about on their slow start to the season.
Ooh.
Are you scared for the Los Angeles Lakers?
Well, my expectations for this season are very low.
Right.
So I think if the Lakers got into the playoffs, that would be fine. I don't expect them to win the championship.
Yeah.
And I don't even expect them to make a deep run. What I would love from this year would be a year that this would be the ideal year would be one where LeBron does well enough to stay satisfied, that Ingram, Hart, Kuzma, and Ball get enough playing time to truly all take a step up as young players, and that the combination of those four guys and the contracts of those other veterans is manipulable in a useful way next summer. So what I mean is the four young guys are probably not all going to be Lakers 5 years from now.
Yeah.
But if they can all take a step up so that they are assets worth trading,
yeah,
and that we don't hamstring ourselves, or I should say Devin Booker ourselves, in a way with the veterans.
Yeah.
That we're just putting veterans that LeBron likes to play with and like ignoring that part. That would be the ideal. So if that is what I think the ideal season is, I'm a little bit worried.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I am not worried at all.
Okay.
And the reason that I am
love LeBron.
Not worried at all is because this season doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I right? agree. The wins and losses don't matter. Like, it matters because people are going to talk about it and people are going to say like, well, what's going on? But truly, it's about next season.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everything that we're doing is about next season. That's
this,
it.
This whole podcast is about
next season. Everything's about next season. I mean, I keep saying we. I keep trying to like not say we when I talk about the Lakers, so I'm not just the biggest fucking homer in the whole world.
Especially with the jersey that you're wearing.
I mean,
and that way, and I don't know who's on the back.
Ooh. Well, we'll have to put this at the end of the episode.
A little quiz.
Yeah. Yeah, I... The reason that it doesn't matter is because next year the team's going to look different.
Mm-hmm.
And even the internal expectations of the team are not that we have to win this year.
It's certainly
that,
not.
It's that the Lakers need to grow exactly like you were saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, just show the effort. Make sure that it's something that can be improved upon and put into a good spot next year.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Do you? I agree that the team will not look the same next year. Do you think the team will look basically the same at the end of this year?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you're not expecting a February, you know, win now, put people around LeBron to try to go for it.
No, 100%.
I hope you are right. I hope to God you're right.
Yeah, there's only one undefeated team left in the league.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Milwaukee Bucks.
As everyone expected.
I mean, I was high on the Bucks.
Yeah.
Mostly just because I love Giannis. Yeah.
And they did it without Giannis.
They did today. They beat the Raptors.
Did not have Kawhi.
Yeah. Which a real bummer for all those League Pass fans who mm-hmm. are looking for a nice matchup of Kawhi versus Giannis. But Giannis has got a concussion and Kawhi... they're being easy with him.
Uh-huh.
This is the second game he's missed so far this season.
Yeah, yeah. I think they rested him on another back-to-back.
Yeah.
I wonder... I think that's Toronto also being extra friendly to Kawhi in the sense of, like, he probably was not really that injured the second half of last season, but this is a little bit of a way of saying, like, no, he's still... We're still... He's probably not... Doesn't need these rest games.
Listen, man, whatever you want to do, you do it.
Yeah.
All right.
So the only thing that I'm slightly worried about in terms of all this Lakers talk is that I'm worried if we don't come out of this year with enough growth from the young guys, and sort of more importantly, if the year goes by and we still don't know who out of the four is worth keeping. You know?
Yeah.
Because I would say that it seems like most likely they're going to keep Ingram because just physically he's too much of a, like, he's too appealing
yeah.
to like get rid of. I will say that Ingram's game, especially driving to the basket, is sort of not unlike the Blake Griffin, like, does not ever look easy.
Yeah.
And actually he never, he actually never sort of just lifts himself up above other people. Yeah. He actually just sort of like outweights other people and then makes layups. You know what I mean? Like, he's so angly and elbowy,
yeah,
that they sort of fall off of him, and then he makes like a banked layup.
Yeah, and his like his steps are a little slow, yes, in that way where like,
yeah,
the people have the momentum and they're going backwards and they just keep going backwards and they're like, oh, he's not this far along.
Yeah, it's almost a Dirk game.
Dirk.
That I'm not 101% sold that that's a superstar in the making, but I see the appeal, right? Yeah. Josh Hart and Kuz, I think, are inconsistent at this point.
Yeah.
And so a goal of this year would be to see, like, can you be consistent?
Yeah, definitely.
I have not watched the off Lonzo games, such as tonight. He had a very mediocre game.
Yeah.
So I don't quite know what the deal is with him. I know he's sort of fallen back, and Rondo is still getting more time than him. I will say that Lonzo's three-point shooting is better this year,
which is so nice to see.
Yeah. I'm looking at the Lakers stat chart, and of the players that like take a significant amount of three-pointers, Josh Hart is shooting 43%.
Yeah.
And Lonzo's shooting 41%.
Great.
They're sort of top.
Great. Because everybody else is shooting just total ass from three-point for the Lakers. Yes.
I will say the person that takes the most threes on the team.
Kentucky's Caldwell Pope.
Nope.
Kuzma. Kuzma. Oh, and
takes
he's
six a game, and he's making 29%.
Ooh, Kuz.
And LeBron takes six a game and makes 20%.
Ooh, LeBron.
Big surprise. Svi is only shooting 20%, but he's just not getting enough run.
Yeah, and he has not looked good against real basketball
players.
Yeah. But, like, he's, you know, he's a rookie. And a second-round pick.
So, if, you know, it's only six games in, so if Lonzo can keep it up, I'd say above 38%.
That's great.
That's great.
That's great.
So, yeah, I'm just a little worried about the mix between, as we talked about before, the varsity and JV side of the Lakers team.
Yeah.
However, they're fun to watch.
Yeah.
And as you said, nothing really. I guess it's up to Magic and Pelinka to just not do anything that hurts next year's prospects.
Yeah.
Aside from that, they can really do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Let me just ask you real quickly. Are there any teams you've been pleasantly surprised by? I'll just say that the Nuggets are doing very well.
They're doing great.
And so I can, you know, cite that as a positive thing because I got to see Jamal Murray cough up the ball to Lonzo several times in their single loss of the year, which was to the Lakers. And aside from that, I can admire what the Nuggets are doing. Good job. You know, and also you can't have Jamal Murray be your clutch player in the last 2 minutes of a game.
It's so funny.
Because he does not have the mind of a point guard, and he doesn't have the skills of a point guard.
All he's got is the position of a point guard, and it doesn't work. I think the team that has been surprising the most is the Detroit Pistons.
Ooh.
Right? Dwayne Casey's got those Pistons running at full steam. Yeah. It almost works.
All cylinders.
Running on all cylinders.
Well, yeah. I mean, Dwayne Casey, by all accounts, is a good coach.
Yeah. It's like the team that had him last year fired
did
him
very well.
Yeah, you know, for because
and
they have these outsized expectations.
Well, yeah, to win. They had expectations to win one game in a playoff series against their nemesis. But, you know, you have Drummond, you have Griffin. So I guess never underestimate. If you have a talented team and you add it, first of all, you can get a positive effect just by changing coaches.
Yeah.
Like, that can
even
happen.
Even if you have a bad coach,
yeah,
that's a new bad coach, that people would be like, oh, God, my ass is on the line.
Yeah, or just for whatever reason. Like, I have no doubt that when Rick Pitino replaces Tom Thibodeau as the Timberwolves coach, that no matter what, they'll just get better. Because Cat will sort of, you know, wake up out of his slumber.
Mm-hmm.
And he won't be mad anymore for, you know, 2 weeks or whatever. But Dwayne Casey's like demonstrably good coach.
Yeah.
So adding that to mix is going to help. They must be very happy that they got him.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, so happy. I mean, because there were other people that hired head coaches this offseason, and none of them had the resume that Dwayne Casey has.
No. Nick Nurse doing very well in Toronto.
Doing great. The Suns head coach, new guy, Olga.
European guy?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that's going well.
No, I mean, but they're young and they know that.
Yeah. I would say games that I have seen, I think that Utah looks good.
Utah looks great.
I think that San Antonio is not as good as their record currently.
That's fair.
They've
had a lot of real close games.
I just think that they're playing well, but I don't trust that 4-2 record of theirs.
Yeah, that's fair.
I
think the Clippers look better than they
were
supposed to be.
Mostly
they just have a bunch of like C plus to B minus players, and they don't have anybody on that team who's just like really fucking up the joint, which is like fine.
Well, Casey, we've listened to you for many episodes of the podcast disparage the DJ at Staples Center.
Yeah.
And I think it's clear that it's helping.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, no. Okay. No. They got rid of a DJ this offseason.
Augustin? DeAndre.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, really just like very surprised that their like pieces are fitting together.
Yeah.
Like, do we dare say credit Doc Rivers? Doc
Rivers, who knows?
That's not a fun thing.
There was a weird quote from him today that was like, if Lob City kept going, I wouldn't have stayed or something. Which is like, what
do
you
want to fucking listen to him talk about?
No.
Bad stuff. I don't know. I don't. I feel very conflicted about all that.
I like the fact that Doc Rivers, I liked him as a Nick.
Yeah.
And I liked that for a whole year he made the Celtics say the name of a Linux operating system.
Ubuntu.
As because clearly what he was saying was like, think outside the box. Don't just pick Mac or PC.
Yeah.
You know, use this build that's, you know, a decently user-friendly Linux build.
Yeah. Like, it's got a full GUI.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so many Linux builds are just a command line.
You can do all Ubuntu. If you don't have to touch the command line once.
Hey. Well, that's all I'm looking for.
I mean, do you want to optimize your partitions? You probably want to jump in the shell.
Yeah.
But you don't have to.
You don't have to.
And Doc knows this is what Doc brings to a team. You know, he's pretty good at middleware. He's really good.
If you need IT help Doc in the Rivers. Los Angeles area, if you need your computer checked up on, you know,
call bring the doctor.
Call the doc. Call Doc Rivers.
Before we go, two teams that I would be stealth worried about. Just because they're not doing as well as I think people thought they would.
Okay.
They're both in the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
One is the 76ers.
Ooh, yeah. They have had a slow start.
And one is the Celtics.
And the Celtics have looked real bad on offense until the second half of that Thunder game that was on TNT.
Uh-huh. I just the thing that happened last year, we might have even talked about it during the playoffs, which was like basically all the... It's like the Lakers of like the varsity team's gone. Gordon's injured. So the kids get to play. They get a full year of just like, hey, we're the men. So it's like Jason and Jalen just get to like run as much as they want.
Yeah. Last season didn't matter.
Right. And they were great.
Yeah.
Now it's like, well, Gordon's here. He's got to get, what do they say? He has to eat.
He's got to eat.
He's got to eat.
He's got to watch his anime.
Al Horford's got to eat.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course, like as usual, you should probably trust Brad Stevens because he's shown a good ability to like integrate that kind of thing. He's shown a good ability to get the most out of people like Isaiah Thomas, like to like cater offenses to people's skills. But yeah. Right now their offense looks horrid.
Yeah. It's looking rough over there. So yeah, I think that both of those teams, should be a little worried if they don't like pick up and start playing better because the Raptors will run away with that division.
I mean, if we're talking about a 2018-19 season where the Raptors and the Bucks run away with the Eastern Conference by All-Star break, I would love that because those are them and Indiana are my three least hateable teams in this conference.
Yeah. Great.
Indiana slightly disappointing so far this year, but
you know, I mean, they
didn't have high expectations.
I mean, they were basically a 500 team last year.
Yeah.
You know, like if they're about that or a little more, then that's where they're on pace for.
But yeah, like I'm down for an Eastern Conference Finals of the Bucks and the Raptors.
Ooh.
That would be great.
Ooh.
Kawhi versus Giannis.
You know who would hate that?
Who?
The NBA. Welcome to your Eastern Conference Finals between... I'm sorry.
Milwaukee.
Someone must have made a mistake. Milwaukee and Toronto?
The Brewers? I believe that the NBA 2K19, people would like it. Wasn't he the cover guy?
Giannis is the cover guy. I almost bought a Giannis Funko Pop at Best Buy this weekend.
Is it the same proportions as a regular Funko Pop?
Yeah.
That seems...
Yeah, it's
minimizing
dumb.
Of his
Funko Pops. The reason I didn't buy it is because Funko Pops are absolute trash. What horrible, horrible things have we had happen to us as a culture to make Funko Pops the like number one geek collectible? Ugh.
Yeah, I mean the only thing dumber is Supreme streetwear.
Oh, ooh, this is a hot take. Someone doesn't like really? Supreme. Yeah, Supreme's hot.
Supreme is so stupid.
Why?
It is just a Futura bold italic font on a red box.
And they put it on everything.
I know.
Yeah. Imagine how hotter your McDonald's fries would be if they came with a Supreme logo on it.
So don't get me wrong. I admire the audacity of their entire enterprise, but it's fucking stupid.
Yeah. Okay. all right. That's fair.
The fact that like you can pirate, like I could make a Supreme shirt in 90 seconds in Photoshop.
Yeah, and you got a screen printer now. You want to start a new business? Get the streets hyped?
That's right. And also, you know, if you know your art history, they're ripping off Barbara Kruger,
yeah,
who then told them that they were stupid, and I'm on her side 100%.
All right.
Look up Barbara Kruger's art. It's really kick-ass from the, like, 70s, 60s, and 70s.
She's got stuff at the local art stuff. She got any pieces up at the...
At the art stuff?
I was going to say the other one, but I don't support the hot one that everybody supports.
The Broad?
Yeah, I don't support it.
You don't support the Broad?
I don't.
In what sense?
Edith and Eli Broad.
Ooh, are they bad people?
They're not bad people. We have a little disagreement about their strong belief in charter schools.
Ooh.
So they are extreme pushers of charter schools. And for those of you who don't know, my mom, who is just put in her retirement papers, is a teacher with the LAUSD.
Ooh.
So she's a... big teachers union kind of person, and I feel strongly about teachers unions.
Is teachers union generally against charter schools?
Yes, because charters are usually not unionized. Like they don't allow teachers unions at the charters because it costs a little more money to pay for teachers in a teachers union, mm-hmm. and charter schools try to cut costs everywhere. That's the key to charter schools is that they're trying to min-max how much money they're spending on.
And students. A charter school is a thin wedge to get the private enterprise into a public space.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And here's the thing. This is like, it's such a nice thing to have something that like, I feel that reasonable people can disagree on. Like charter versus non-charter. Like this is like the political thing that it's like, I disagree, but like either doesn't mean that I'm not going to like... ever talk to somebody who like believes that charter schools can be good, because there are good charter schools and there are bad public schools. It's just it's very complicated, very messy, and it's the fragmentation that is the problem.
It's not like trying to agree or disagree on the fact that like James Harden is a like hunts for fouls.
Yeah like that one I will never talk to you again if you come incorrect on that.
And what's the incorrect take on that?
Exactly.
It's what a fun week, fun second week of NBA.
So, I mean, the season has been great so far. I don't know anybody who is unhappy with the season right now.
I mean, because it's the, first of all, no one's going to complain that offense is up. Second of all, we're getting a fair amount of WWE drama along with it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost like, can we keep up this pace?
I don't know.
But I almost think it will be unacceptable to have like a month of NBA games that are just like, well, NBA games happened with no like Instagram or Steven Jackson or anything.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to start tuning into more Instagram drama. I watched a bunch of Cardi B versus Nicki Minaj Instagram drama today.
Oh.
And I want that in the NBA. I want some of that.
Are they? I didn't even know they were.
Oh, they beefing.
Oh.
Oh, they beefing.
I might be on the Cardi B side of this.
Oh, yeah. I definitely
I kind of like her more.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I want more of that hot beef.
I mean, the MGK Eminem thing faded out.
Yeah. Because who gives a fuck about white rappers in 2018?
Send us an email.
Yeah.
What's the email again?
Rule of Threes Podcast. Rule of 3S Podcast.
Yeah, the number
at 3 gmail.com.
At gmail. Rule of the number 3 S
podcast. Maybe we need a fucking new email.
Maybe so. But yeah, listeners are up.
Yeah.
Season's
ready to go.
People are like hunting for NBA.
Yeah.
You know, the way Harden hunts for fouls, fans are hunting for audible content.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Yeah. We're excited to have you. We got a final bonus game to play before we sign off.
Yes. Final game. This game is called Who is Casey Wearing? Is that the game you're thinking about?
Yes, it is. I'm wearing Supreme. No, I'm just kidding. I'm wearing a jersey, and it's a Sacramento Kings jersey.
Now, first of all, what kind of jersey is this?
This is a replica Adidas. This is one of the cheapest, shittiest jerseys you can buy.
Okay. So this is not trying to be like what they actually wear.
No. This is mad bullshit.
The name is not on the front.
Name is not on the front.
It says Kings on the front.
Kings on the front. It's got a number seven. Number seven on the Kings. And it's an all-purple jersey. It's one of their alternate jerseys from like 5 years ago.
Okay. This is a player that you like.
No.
This is what's great about Casey Lawrence. He spends hard-earned money on jerseys of players that he does not like.
How much do you think this jersey costs?
Is this a player that you don't like?
I don't not like him. Okay, I don't so have you're any.
Just indifferent to him.
I liked that it was purple and was $15.
Yeah, so I know that you spent only $15 on it, but it's I love this about Casey that he buys jerseys.
Yeah.
So it's a player that you're indifferent to.
Indifferent.
And he was on the team 5 years ago?
He was on the team 5 years ago.
Okay. Is this was Isaiah Thomas on that team?
Isaiah Thomas was on that team.
Is this Isaiah Thomas?
This is not an Isaiah Thomas jersey.
Oh, okay. 5 years ago, I don't even remember paying attention to the Sacramento Kings five years ago.
Nobody did, and nobody bought the jerseys, which is why they were so heavily clearanced on the NBA store.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of jerseys made for this person. Not a lot of people buying them, and the production wasn't there. This person was a bust.
Ooh.
Yeah.
High draft pick?
High draft pick.
Give me some initials or something kind of.
This person scored a shit ton of points this year in the preseason.
Okay.
But here's the thing. It wasn't on an NBA team.
It was on a G League team or
a
international team?
That is correct.
Oh, Lord. So it's not Tyreek Evans.
It is not Tyreek Evans.
It's not Willie Cauley-Stein.
No WCS. He was a 3 year ago draft pick.
It's not Vlade Divac.
It is not Vlade Divac.
Did he score a lot of points in the big three?
he did score a lot of points in the big. I don't know if it was the big three. No, he scored a lot of points in the TBT.
Oh my goodness. I have no idea who this is.
All right. He played the last time he played in the NBA was with the Knicks. And he played a lot with the Westchester Knicks as well. Had some really good games in Westchester. And he believes that the game has kind of adapted to his style now. And that if there was ever a time for a comeback, that this is the time where he would make it.
Oh, my God. I have no idea. I know it's not Chris Childs.
It's not Chris Childs, no. This player played college ball. And people were very into him because he could shoot. Oh, man, could he shoot.
Oh, is this a Jimmer Fredette?
This is a Jimmer Fredette.
Oh, my God. If there was anybody to ever, low-key support the systemic white supremacy of the United States.
Oh, my God. You know, I have that thought every time I put this jersey on. It's just like, what more, am I broadcasting that,
just like the advancement of white mediocrity.
Oh boy.
He actually was he in a big three team? He was in the, But he who was he playing for this summer?
He was playing was for he in a China? Chinese team.
Yeah. You know, good for Jimmer.
Good for Jimmer.
I often get him confused with Johnny Manziel. I don't think Jimmer's quite as big an asshole as Johnny
Manziel. Oh, no. Jimmer's just supposed to be a nice guy.
Yeah.
And he's Johnny Manziel has got a bunch of other issues, and Jimmer never had any of those problems.
Right. That's me conflating two white people.
You know what? Hey, it's your right.
That's right. All right. We'll see you next week.
Catch you later.
Thanks, guys.